Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's all about the...
Boom?
No, you can't say that anymore. He's a heel now. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Pete Quinnell. Sorry, I nearly said Chopper. Oh, that's old Pete.
Can't say that.
That's old Pete. And we are here to review the first AEW Dynamite of 2024, where Adam Cole, that dastardly man, explained his actions of turning on MJF and unveiling his new faction. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode and Adam Cole's motivation, and send in an Omega chat to wrestletalk.com/support, and we'll read out every single one of them before the end of the episode. Over $5. Sorry.
You good there, Ollie?
Well, as Pete will tell you, a minute ago we just had Turbo Jack in here recording some shout-outs,
yeah.
And... It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Watching him do his thing.
Yeah.
That is a really high intensity performance.
Taxing on the throat. Yes.
But yes, this episode of... actually, I'll pass over to you first because you have a few things in wrestling that you love.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 4 months of the Bloodline story.
Yeah. more than that, I think. But yes.
The years of 2015 to 2019 NXT.
Yeah.
And Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
And any entrance music that Adam Cole has.
Yes, that is correct.
And you hate everything else.
And Swerve Strickland. We'll
add
that to the list.
Oh, you like Swerve now.
Add that to the list. And then yes, that is what I love.
So after The Rock going way over time,
mm-hmm.
7 minutes is the report. He went over. You got this.
Mm-hmm.
How did you experience Adam Cole's explanation? And whole repackaging, to be honest.
I mean, I loved all of it.
Mm.
As someone who, on the Best Wrestling Entrance Music TLC episode, go and watch it, had number one, Undisputed Era, and number two, Adam Cole's AEW theme. Yes, I'm a mark. Shut up. It's my list. This theme's a banger.
The new one.
The new one's great.
I didn't realize it was a remix until... too late.
Yeah.
I had to go back and rewrite my notes.
Yeah. Because they came out with Adam Cole's old music and everyone went, oh, Adam Cole. And they did like an excessive amount of pyro. It was really good. And
yeah,
then
they did
so much pyro and everyone goes, oh, okay, it's Adam Cole. And then the music stops and then the new one comes in and has Undisputed and it comes up against the thing. It's like, oh, that's great. I loved it. You watch all of them come out and you're like, okay, this is the next chapter. This is the next era, if you will. And then his explanation of everything. I've seen some people criticize this segment because Adam Cole came out. All of the guys in this new faction, the Undisputed Kingdom, as they're called now, came out and Roddy Strong introduced and said, Adam, and gave him the microphone.
Just sorry to interject. Mm. I wish he set it up like he was going to do that voice.
Yeah.
But then would look down the lens and go, Adam. Just to sort of draw a line under Goofy Roddy.
Yeah.
And now we're serious now.
That is good, yeah.
Minor bit
I
of
like
feedback.
That, yeah. But he passes the mic to Adam Cole, and Adam Cole outlines the motivations of the devil and what this whole thing is about. And he said originally it was just about the AEW World Championship, but it morphed into something more. It became about destroying MJF and everything he stands for, because he just beat MJF to the punch. MJF would have turned on him as soon as he stopped needing Adam Cole. And that's the thing. He needed Adam Cole. Adam Cole never needed MJF, which I don't think is true, but he's in denial about that. Because I think he had a genuine friendship with him. For me, I would love to go back and watch the all-in match between them now, recontextualized with all of this, because there's so much of it where I feel like Adam Cole was kind of using MJF the whole time in that thing. Like, maybe he forged a genuine friendship there, but him, like, you know, saying that we should go after the Ring of Honor tag titles, or, you know, making sure that MJF always kind of pushed that next level up, leading to that all-in match where Max went too far and, like, hurt Adam Cole, and Adam Cole returned and went too far and hurt MJF, and all of that, like, back and forth. I'd love to watch that match again, because I feel like that's the point where Cole didn't win and he was like, ah, well, this actually isn't working now, because all of this was so I could win the world title, and now I haven't done that. So then it becomes a case of, I need to destroy MJF. And that's where I think, like, the initial seed was planted of where his machination started. But anyway, he then outlined why he needed to destroy MJF, and everybody here has their grievances with MJF. And I really enjoyed, he's saying, we have a goal. Here's our goals. Roddy Strong is going to go after the international title. They've got the Ring of Honor tag belts. Wardlow's going to work up and get the AEW world title, which at some point, when he wins it, he'll relinquish it and give it to me.
He'll do the right thing.
He'll do the right thing.
I promise you, Cole says.
Yeah.
He'll do the right thing and forfeit it to me.
Which is interesting, because not only was Wardlow like, totally.
Yeah.
But also, Wardlow's already been in that position with MJF, where MJF is like, you do everything for me. You are nothing. You're a vehicle to get me what I want. Wardlow's already been in that position. I don't think he's going to do that again.
Yeah.
And I think more tension in the future.
I think they're being quite upfront with that as well, because Wardlow, the camera focused on it. He was like, he did that sort of goofy face of, yeah, sure, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he seemed, I mean, when you look at this faction, he does stand out. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't feel like the rest of them, because the others are all formed in Ring of Honor. So Wardlow, I think, as opposed to the MJF storyline and Pinnacle and everything like that, where he was the downtrodden henchman who rose up, now we're going to get the rest of them having to deal with actually quite a confident and self-assured Wardlow.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw it, but Roderick Strong seemed to me to be the only guy who clocked Wardlow's, I'm not going to do that, mate, reaction.
Mm.
And I just thought, Roderick didn't sell it, but it was definitely a planned spot.
Yes.
Because this is all very well thought out. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, you can't deny that. So I feel like, you know, surely Wardlow's only there because Kyle O'Reilly isn't ready to join them yet.
I hope so. So much within my soul. Yeah. I really want Kyle O'Reilly to come back and join this group, because I think he'd be so perfect. Him coming out to that theme song with the air guitars? Oh, give me it. I'd love it.
You want cool? We're talking cool Kyle.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
You don't want uncool Kyle.
I do want uncool Kyle, because uncool Kyle is more cool than cool Kyle. Say that five times fast. Also, I loved Adam Cole's opening line of this promo, where he just sat there and goes, wait, I have sympathy for me. I'm like, sympathy for the devil. It's the song that the thing. Ah, it's brilliant.
I was ready. I was ready to go. It's story time with Adam Cole, babe. But he didn't. He never said that.
No.
The song was almost written in a way where nobody can find the right point to go boom.
Yeah.
So it's a real nice repackaging of someone's whole catchphrase and entrance to stop the crowd being able to cheer them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what heels should be.
Yeah, and I love that this felt like, you know, post-pay-per-view, where we say, like, we need the post-pay-per-view reset episode kind of thing to be like, here's the next step of whatever it is. This very much felt like that. This felt like, here's a new faction, here's what the faction's going to be doing, here's our goals, off we go. And it, you know, sometimes when you get a new character or a new gimmick or whatever, and you get onto the next episode of Raw, Dynamite, or Collision, or whatever it may be, and someone comes out and you're like, well, I still have questions about all of this. I don't really know where they're going with this. I don't get it. This was no one's left in the dark about what these guys are or what they're doing. for me, this ticked all the boxes that it needed to.
I think it didn't go back. I didn't know what I wanted after World's End, because it was unveiled and, you know, I don't think anyone was blown away by it. It was obvious, makes sense, but also, why would Cole make Max lose the belt when he could try and win it off of him? And I'm sure there's loads of other plot holes over the months, but I'm quite happy now that it's happened. It's a new year. Just go, okay, put that over here. I'm going to get excited about what's coming next. And like you said, they make it really clear. Here's where we're going. And I appreciate that clarity. Like in an Edgar Wright movie. And they always, in the first few scenes, we're going to drink in these pubs. These are the things that are going to happen. And we'll riff along the way.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get sidetracked, but we will always keep coming back to these individual goals. So I know this is all building to Wardlow versus Adam Cole around the world championship picture. I can get excited for Roddy versus Orange Cassidy.
That sounds like fun. Yeah.
Can I talk more about what you said with the idea of when Cole decided to turn? So you think Cole always thought this from the moment they first went out to bond?
I think that Cole was very hesitant to start with, understandably, because MGF was the one who was like, hey, bud, pal, you know, and it was very superficial and all that stuff.
They would have those jokes where they would say behind the other one's back, I'm just doing this till I can turn on him.
Absolutely, yeah. And it felt like MGF was like, okay, no, let's trust, and that's fine. Maybe Cole started to feel that way, but then when it got to All In and they fought and Cole lost, for me, that is the moment when he went, ah, never mind. My friend didn't let me win, you know?
Yeah, or we've got this friendship, but currently it's based on the idea that I can beat him.
Exactly, yeah.
And when that didn't cut that, yeah, I love that. That's so, yeah, I hope they go that route.
I hope so as well, because I think that would make, it would make so much more sense to have Cole's downward spiral come from that, come from not beating MJF, then getting injured and being like, I have to destroy this man. He's taken everything from me. Like, that, I think, makes sense.
But like you said, it's denial.
Yeah.
No, it's not me being, me having lost in that moment or me ruining the friendship. It's because it's his fault.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's Max's fault.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe Max comes back. I don't know if this will work for his character because it's kind of a dumb babyface thing to do. Be like, dude, I'll forgive you. You just have to say, like, I still believe in our friendship.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I need time to process that. Because surface level, I love it. But then I might need to think about it for a second. Be like, oh, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I don't think he should.
Well, then Cole would probably say, let's bring it in. And then Cole would try and turn on MJF. But MJF would actually scout it.
Yeah.
No, I've got a
metal
corset thing on.
Yeah,
your
sure.
kick didn't hit me.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of Bret Hart and Goldberg. So what happened after this is...
I love this as well.
Yeah, Jay White comes out and interrupts him. And he's like, guys, well, like, I love what you did with MJF. I don't feel so great about being collateral damage. Because he was attacked, one of the first victims of the devil and his goons. So Jay White runs down with the guns. And it's this parallel universe where Bullet Club Gold are kind of these heroic AEW baby faces. The shades of grey in this were really well done.
I understand. I came away from this segment and I can see why people think that heels and faces don't exist anymore. I disagree. They do exist. But I get why segments like this make people go, they're just characters and they just interact with people that make sense. And I do prefer it that way, when there are shades of grey, when you have people who react accordingly.
Yeah.
Because Jay White would be pissed off that he got beaten up and would want to fight the person that beat him. It doesn't matter that he's also a heel. And it's not like all heels are friends, because that used to be very much the way where it's like, well, you're a heel and I'm a heel, so we have to get along kind of thing. This is just people who react how they would. This is characters reacting as characters. And I love that. It was really, really good.
Because then they start to get beaten down, numbers advantage and all that. So the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass run down.
Brilliant.
A huge pop. And I was like, when was the last time I saw these guys? It hasn't. Have they been on Collision? I can't remember.
I think so. Yeah, they've been on Collision a bit.
I haven't watched much Collision, apart from the C2 matches over December. So they run in and they work together with Bullet Club Gold to fight off Undisputed Kingdom. And I even thought, because, you know, you might be like, oh, well, that doesn't make the new heel faction look particularly strong. But you had Dr. Samson out there screaming hoarsely at the top of his voice. He's not medically cleared because they were protecting Adam Cole from this beatdown. So that was why I thought that gave them a good excuse to backtrack.
I'd also say they were outnumbered. It was 6-4, not including Adam Cole. So, like, that makes sense. Yeah. They'd back off, you know. They're not going to take a fight that they can't win. That's fine. And I like the idea of the Acclaimed coming out because they also got attacked by Undisputed Kingdom. And having that little stare down of Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed and the crowd chanting Scissor and all that stuff at them. And they'd be like, nah, and then they walk off.
Daddy ass on one side, the guns on the other. So much context there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bullet Club Gold. No, we are still heels. Just in case anyone thought otherwise, they walk off. Yeah, I thought this was a absolute home run, to be honest, apart from Roderick screaming at him. Everything else hit perfectly for me.
Yeah, this is exactly what I want. When a new faction debuts and a new thing happens in a wrestling company, this is what I want when I just explain, this is who we are, this is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Done. Simple. Effective.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, we've got a load of chats on this topic because it is quite exciting. Please, wrestletalk.com/support. Get those Omega chats in. We'll read out every single one over $5 before the end of the show. Harrison Earl says, not sure how I feel about Wardlow going back to being a repressed and underappreciated big man in faction. I understand going back to what got him super over, but also a better version of this story is already happening with Luchasaurus and Christian Cage.
Yeah, I think it's intentional that they're drawing parallels to who Wardlow used to be so they can subvert those expectations. So they say, here's Wardlow how he used to be, you know this, now let's take that away.
Yeah, I think it's if that facial expression didn't happen when Cole said that, I'd totally agree with you, Harrison, but I feel that's the linchpin that it all sits on. I wonder if we'll get a Joe Page and Swerve three-way at Revolution. Swerve pins Hangman again. Oh, God. Can lead to a Joe versus Page feud with Joe pissed Hangman lost him his belt and saved the Swerve versus Joe singles match, as you don't want to beat both guys at the moment.
I don't know where this is going, but I'm so excited for what's going to happen. Because if they're going to do another Swerve Hangman match, I really feel like Hangman should win it. But also, I don't want Swerve to lose.
Yeah.
Because Swerve is on such a rise right now, and I don't want anything to potentially curb that momentum. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm so pumped. If they do a three-way, I'm all in. That'd be so much fun.
Hangman is best when he's losing. Mm. It just flies against all wrestling logic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying this is the best way. This is just the way that came into my head this morning. You do Swerve versus Hangman, number one contenders match. Mm-hmm. Swerve beats Hangman. Three times on the trot. Ooh,
okay.
Then Swerve takes on Joe. I mean, Revolution feels too early to take the belt off Joe, but let's just say that happens. Swerve is a new AEW World Champion. Mm-hmm. 6-9 months down the line after Hangman trying, Hangman finally gets that shot. And it's like, but you've lost every time. And that's when Hangman beats Swerve.
I'd love
First
that.
Ever two-time AEW World Champion.
I'd love that. Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
There's a lot of other people who should be the champion.
Yeah.
Ospreay, Swerve, MJF, you know.
Yeah.
Andy Sandbox. Remember when MJF thought about using the ring on Adam on the boat, dumping him in the river after he sacrificed his ankle to help beat Samoa Joe? Adam does, and he watches the show. Adam Cole isn't wrong. He's just an a-hole out a-holing MJF.
Yeah. I mean, there's been teasers through the whole thing of them turning on each other at various points. Like, yeah, he's kind of right. That's the thing.
Yeah, there is. You can understand the way he's got to this twisted version of events.
Yeah.
Andy Sandbox continues. What I really like about the new faction is how it already has so many integrated feuds. Bullet Club Gold, Acclaimed, Hangman, Joe, MJF eventually, Orange Cassidy. Adam has history. Later on Wardlow, it's very good for them to go in so many directions already.
Yeah, exactly. They feel super integrated into the AEW roster already and have so many directions to go, and all of them are exciting.
That's really a hallmark of MJF booking. And they're reaping the rewards of this large Maxverse that Friedman created. Moderator James's Omega chat. Between this and Wrestle Kingdom, what a fun night of wrestling. I love Cole's logic. I love the foreshadowing with Wardlow's facial expressions. Love how this can build great heat with him being hurt, so no one right now can touch him. Love how they are an instant big time group, with even heeled teams already wanting to kick their asses. Also, my 2-year-old niece drew me a snowman picture yesterday. My first thought was, she drew Ollie's Yokozuna. The
accurate.
Greatest piece of art of 2023.
Absolutely, yeah.
Your 2-year-old niece sounds pretty talented.
Yeah.
There.
Absolutely.
James. What was I going to say? That just the moment when Cole stands up out the wheelchair. Yeah, I hope they treat that right.
Yeah.
Gwen10Zero, I enjoyed the Undisputed Kingdom's debut and introduction. Hoping for good things for AEW in 2024. And do we have any more?
We've got another
one. And Luke Graham, I think this is eventually leading to Strong and Cole versus Max and Wardlow are all in, or that's what I'm hoping for at least.
Whoa.
Hmm.
It's interesting. I don't know how you get to Max and Wardlow again, honestly. I don't know how that works, because there needs to be a lot of repairing that needs doing there. Because not only did Wardlow beat MJF way back when MJF did the whole, you know, fire me, you mark, and all that stuff promo, but then Wardlow's now cost MJF the world title. So that is like two things that they need to repair in their relationship if that's going to happen. Maybe. I don't hate it, though.
Sounds fun.
If they can get there...
I mean, you can see how it can be done. Wardlow is like, you know, eventually betrayed by Undisputed Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And MJF is already round. And, you know, maybe they just do the thing where they're fighting off at the end of a match. And they walk and they back into each other. They turn round. They look at each other. And then they just start beating up Undisputed Kingdom some more.
Yeah.
I can see how
I can see it happening. I just want him to paper over.
Yeah.
I don't want him to paper over some of the potential character elements you could have there. I think there's a lot there.
let's get in with the play-by-play review of Dynamite, which opened cold on Samoa Joe. It was a promo taped after his World Championship win on the Saturday at World's End. It was a good promo, intense. Joe's great. He looks awesome with the belt. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy he has a World Championship in somewhere that isn't TNA. Mm-hmm. I guess NXT as well. But, you know, this is... I love Joe. I would have liked to have seen him on the show properly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It definitely felt like there was a certain presence missing. Like, after that promo, you know, it cuts to the arena and the commentators are like, ah, it's Samoa Joe's era. It's like, well, it would have been nice to have that on the show to really, you know, stamp that. Maybe he has the opening promo and the Adam Cole stuff comes later or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, just, you know, I think, yeah, in front of the live crowd's best. But, and maybe it's because it's a Samoan called Joe, but I would love some backstage Joe chilling out in his locker room segments, like how Roman's in his dressing room, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just being badass.
Yeah.
And people saying, hey, can I be your next? I don't know how it would work.
Well, but thought out that.
But yeah, it's a, this is 2020. This is the first show of the new year. And I thought they did a really good job of wiping that slate clean while making it seem like a big show. You had Deonna Purrazzo debuting. You had the return of Mark Quinn, which was really nice. You had the whole new faction thing. But yeah, I feel like we needed... Oh, and here is the top champion of the promotion.
Because I think a lot of people coming out of World's End felt like the Devil reveal overshadowed Joe's win a little bit. And you can kind of say the same thing for this Dynamite as well, is that they kind of overshadowed Joe's first promo kind of thing. Even though it was the start of the show, it still felt like this is still the emphasis. Cole's new faction and all that stuff is still the emphasis of the show.
But yeah. I feel like I've seen that Joe promo when he was holding the ROH TV title.
Yeah.
We got a video package for Garcia and Swerve Strickland. I thought production-wise, they did quite a lot to put over the characters, kind of like how Day One Raw did. I was like, oh, there might be new people watching today.
One for Eddie Kingston as well.
Yeah.
It's great.
The first match we got was Dante Martin versus Orange Cassidy for the international title. Really fun match.
Really fun match. Both of these guys are awesome. And they just did some like chain wrestling to start with, just on the mat. I was like, this is great. I love this. I love the spot where Cassidy was slow rolling out of the way and Dante Martin was like, nah, I'll still make that. And then ran along the ropes and then did a big dive anyway. I was like, that's perfect. Yeah, it's just a really fun match. Both these guys are great wrestlers and they showed it. It was awesome.
Yeah, they worked Cassidy's choke low effort offense in quite well. Like even Dante Martin was hands in pockets some of the time. Cassidy did a really slow run around the ring to get a drop kick. All good stuff. And Cassidy won with an orange punch. The sort of bigger part was what happened afterwards. You had Action Andretti and Darius Martin checking on Dante. And then you had the best friends helping Orange. When Private Party's entrance music hit, and Mark Quinn made his return with Isaiah Cassidy. He's been out for 13 months with an injury.
Cracky.
I forgot about their entrance with the little VIP area. Yeah. They open the little, like...
The rope?
The rope bit, thing. The VIP rope. And they cut a promo, just like a really fun promo. And it felt like old AEW.
It really did. I think especially because this is an OG AEW team. And one of the first times that they really had like a shock result in AEW was Private Party beating the Young Bucks. So to have them come back and be like, Private Party's back, everybody. Tag wrestling. Isn't that going to be fun? Because then you had Top Flight in there. You had Best Friends and all that stuff that were already there to round out the division kind of thing. Just really fun. It was really great to see Mark Quinn back.
Yeah.
Really liked it. If it was me,
oh.
Now, I know you had the Private Party return happen here. If it was me and I was going to solidify Undisputed Kingdom as the next thing that was going to be happening in AEW, I would have had Roderick Strong come out here and do a sneak attack on Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Just to... They said it in the promo, hey, I'm going to go after the international title. Just have Roderick Strong come out and hit a move. Just one. He comes in, hits it, and gets out on Orange Cassidy. Just to be like, just keep that plate spinning. Just be like, yeah, I'm coming after you. And then he goes. And that's it. I wouldn't want to do that if you're also doing the Private Party return, because then that's too many things. So I get why they prioritize this. But I don't know if you could have the Private Party somewhere else on the show and have it. I don't know. But if it was me, I would have had Undisputed Kingdom all over the show. Just to be like, this is the big thing now.
I would agree. Yeah, you can do the private party return next week.
Mm-hmm.
The focus should have been on everything UK.
Mm, yeah.
It's a shame they don't have a... Undisputed Kingdom is a very long-syllabled faction name. And the only other way to shorten it is UK. Six syllables.
It's a lot.
Is UK, and that sounds like a thing already.
Yeah.
Don't know what.
And they can't even do that anymore.
What would they do?
Because that's... What's K? Do you just do that? Is that a K?
K does that work? In sign language is that, I think.
Well, I can't do that either. So, that doesn't work.
So there's the U. You can make a K. Uh-huh. See, like that. You see what I'm doing?
Yeah. So like that? Is that a K?
Yeah.
Or like that, maybe? You know?
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
There you go.
This is two UK. There you go, Adam. We figured it out for you. Looks pretty cool.
Got you, mate.
From
there you
where
go.
I can see.
UK.
What about a shorter version of the name? Unking?
Unking.
Unking! Undum.
I hate all of this, to be honest.
Distum.
Kingdom. Just Kingdom.
Private Party also put the whole tag division on notice, even the Hardys, which was a nice line.
And the crowd went, ooh.
Yeah. Isaiah Cassidy has been teaming with them for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Toni Storm's interview backstage, she said she won't watch Mariah May's debut match. She doesn't watch wrestling.
That's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's great.
House of Black vignette.
Yeah.
This was intense.
Mm-hmm.
So they... FTR had challenged them for a match on this Saturday's Collision. House of Black said, sure, it's in your sort of home state. Your wife and child are going to be there. Lots of shots of Dax with his daughter in AEW. And House of Black said, if they win, FTR, you should disown your own family and join them.
Yep. Say goodbye to your current family and join your new family.
Yeah. So hopefully that's just a bit of psychological reasoning, and it's not going to be some weird house rules stipulation.
Where if House of Black win, they literally leave their families to join House of Black. I mean, it's a lot.
It feels like this was a feud escalation that felt a bit too much. A
little bit. I also say it might signal who's going to win, just as a thought.
Well, hopefully, like I said, hopefully it isn't actually it's just a way to get in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it sets up an actual family stipulation later down the line.
Maybe.
But I don't think there's any part of me that wants to see FTR join the House of Black.
No. But maybe they do, like, Dax's daughter joins the House of Black. We just take your daughter from you, and she joins House of Black.
Like Raven and, was it the Sandman's daughter joined Raven back in the day? Swerve was interviewed by Renee, and he talked about the Daniel Garcia match. And this is when he said, this year, I'm coming for championship gold, which is on you, Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. He thought it was going to be MGF, but I guess his body just gave out. So now it's Samoa Joe. And anytime he talks, I'm like, well, he's the guy. Every time.
They already set up Joe and Swerve last year in one of the backstage bits with Max. Mariah May then took on, I've forgotten how to pronounce the name. Is it Aminata?
I think so,
Queen Aminata.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Mariah May debuted in, wrestled in Stardom.
I've heard.
Were you aware of this?
Once or twice, yeah.
They mention it all the time.
Well, they got to get over their working relationship with Stardom, you know?
Yeah.
That working relationship that doesn't exist yet. But they'll do it. Just keep mentioning Stardom and it will happen.
So I thought Mariah May is good. She hit a very good dropkick at one point.
Great dropkick.
But it didn't really stand out to me anything in this match. The bit that stood out to me most was Queen Aminata's comeback.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd got really into it. And I was like, is Mariah May meant to be a babyface here? Because the whole storyline so far, it feels like she's just a happy fan.
Mm-hmm.
Toni Storm is a comedy heel, but Mariah, to me, has been this too innocent babyface.
I guess so. I think from last week's show, when she was like, I'm going to debut next week, I'm like, okay, it's a heel. Like, yeah, that to me cleared up any sort of confusion. It's like she's definitively a heel. So I didn't have those questions in this match. And for me, I still thought that, like, Mariah was in control for most of the match. Aminata got that comeback flurry, but then Mariah Wade just shut her down and won.
Yeah.
And I think it was close to being spot on. It was just that there was a bit too much in the Aminata camp, I think. And maybe just a little bit more needed for Mariah. Because there wasn't that much, like, standout offense of hers or anything like that. It was the very nice dropkick and her finish, the Mayday, and to get that over. But aside from that, it felt like it was kind of like a bit back and forth than a normal match, where maybe a bit more focus should have been put on Mariah May.
That's what I think. That's what I'm trying to say, I think. Rather than that Aminata got too much of a comeback. Because, that, you know, it's a standard match. Mm. A five-minute match. Mariah was never in trouble. Mm-hmm. I agree there. But what happened afterwards was Mariah May definitively said she's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Where, oh, it's just a shame I won my debut match in New Jersey.
Boo!
So then Deonna Purrazzo makes her debut to a really good reaction. Actually, I was happy for her. So it's like, okay, you've got Deonna Purrazzo just debuted. You've got Mariah May's in-ring debut match. That's enough to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't also split the focus by... And I know it sounds silly because I'm really talking about 40 seconds of Aminata comeback.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't even have that.
Mm-hmm.
Have Mariah May hit that great drop kick, win in 2 minutes, no, not even a commercial break. And you're like, oh, wow, Mariah May won that really easily. That's the standout part of her. And then you've also got Deonna Purrazzo.
Mm.
Whereas I thought this only built Purrazzo.
I still feel like it was a good showcase for Mariah May regardless. I still feel like she's people know her more than they did before this week, and she's a more recognizable name than she was before this week. And I really like the Purrazzo debut. I think maybe if they'd have just done that 2 minute match, I think people would have been like, oh, another 2 minute women's match. Give them more time, you know, kind of thing. And maybe you could give them more time, but it's all Mariah May, you know, have her just be in control the whole time. Whether that would get too old too quick, I don't know. But I don't know if like a quick squash would necessarily be the answer to this. But regardless, really like the Purrazzo debut. I enjoyed the match. And I like what it potentially set up going forwards. Because Purrazzo then called out Toni Storm, which I think is a good thing. And I don't think they should do that match anytime soon. I think that should be, a goal of, here's where I'm going. Not there yet, but here's where I'm going to go at some point. Because then Mariah May was like, I mean, go tell Toni Storm yourself, I'm not the messenger. Slapped around the face.
She said bitch.
Bitch. And then slapped around the face. Which is nice. And then Purrazzo came back and stood tall. I like that Purrazzo's here. I think she's a great get for AEW. And I'm excited to see what she does. I think having her eventually go for Toni Storm is a very good idea. But I'm hesitant for her to go against Toni Storm now. Because I don't think Toni Storm should drop the belt yet. And I don't think Purrazzo should lose either. So don't do it yet.
Yeah.
Hold off.
Yeah, that's the reservation, isn't it? Because there's been plenty of people that's happened to when they come in. Like, you know, just off the top of my head from earlier, Ty Valkyrie.
Athena as well.
Athena, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's been a lot of instances where AEW have not booked their women.
Ruby Soho
well.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
When she came in, yeah.
So I'm really happy for Purrazzo. She's such a good wrestler.
Mm.
I just hope they can follow up with it. And yes, I unfortunately now realize I was advocating for less women's wrestling time. Maybe do two matches then.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we got the patriarchy. Can we say thank you to the patriarchy again? Love them. I love the patriarchy.
I hate that this is giving you an excuse to do this.
Take this out of context. I love the My name's Ollie Davis, and I love the patriarchy, which is a wrestling faction. Although it has the whole sort of infrastructure has benefited me quite well.
God.
The Christian came down with Martha Wayne and Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus.
Martha name. Wayne?
What? I can't even remember what her real name
Shayna
is.
Wayne.
Shayna Wayne.
Or as Luke called her last week, Shayna Wayner.
For a moment there, I could only think Martha.
Just like from Batman v Superman, the only thing you can think of is Martha. I mean,
they do have the same mum's name.
Oh, God.
So, Christian's promo was, I thank you, Shayna, Mother Wayne.
Mother Wayne.
The beautiful apple of my eye, mm-hmm. Nick Wayne. Yeah. I love how much he puts over Nick. And then he goes up to Luchasaurus, kill switch, looks him right in the corner of the eye and says, thank you to the man who sealed the deal, who helped put the final nail in the Copeland coffin. And he turns towards the camera and says, me. I saw it coming from a mile off. So it didn't make it any less brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then it was so well done because then the whole crowd chant Luchasaurus, which isn't this guy's name right now. They're working it so well, this whole story.
So well. I also loved Christian saying that he's held the title for 200 days, which is very funny because not only did he lose it at World's End, so that title reign has finished, but also he wasn't the champion when Collision started. It was Luchasaurus, and then he won it later. So he's just included everything.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And I love that it's not just him saying it. It's Shivani going like, that's not... And then Christian like cuts him off. Mm. But like, no. And takes control of the promo again. It's great. This was a really good promo. I would have liked for it to set up the next thing or give us a hint of what's coming next, but it was a fun promo anyway.
I thought it did its job right because you had the Luchasaurus stuff was the big long-term build. Mm-hmm. The next thing is Copeland again. Mm-hmm. He also said that he's going to be champion forever and one day he'll pass this legacy onto his son, Nick Wayne.
Yeah.
I love the idea of this belt being Christian's legacy.
It's great.
Now that Toni Storm's gone from the Outcasts, Harley Cameron has weirdly replaced her.
Did you see last week's segment with Harley Cameron?
I didn't see last week's show, apart from the C2 matches. Oh, is this the one with the knife? I've heard about the knife.
Me and Luke had a good laugh about it, because we didn't know what the hell was going on. And I'll be honest, I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so Saraya's obviously planning something.
Yeah.
But do you have any idea what it is? Is Ruby Soho being duped?
Because Harley helped Ruby win on Collision, right? That's what they were saying as part of this. And Saraya was like, look, I said she was going to help. I didn't say she was going to be sane. And it's like, okay, so Harley Cameron is nuts and she's helping the Outcasts. Is that it? Is that the whole thing? That they just have a new person and there's a bit like, ooh, kooky fun between them? Because I don't find it very funny if that is what they're doing. But that I think that might be it. I don't know.
We'll see where it goes. I think the Adam Cole segment was my favorite thing on the show.
Mm.
But my other favorite thing was what came next. Takeshita versus Darby Allin was really good.
Yeah.
This felt like old Dynamite. And I don't really know what I mean when I say that. But just having a banging match with two of this style of wrestler, I loved it.
Mm-hmm. This match ruled because it started off pretty normal. It was like pretty, just, you know, two good wrestlers doing some good wrestling. And then everything went nuts because Darby went for a dive and Takeshita decided, I'm just going to knee his head off. And from then it just went, oh, okay, well, this match has just gone up here. And then he dragged him up the ramp and did like three German suplexes, rolling suplexes on the ramp and like did a last one, release German onto the ramp. I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? And then there was more nuts stuff, which I can't even remember right now. Darby's big coffin drop off the top. Yeah. Takeshita going for a knee, nailing the railing and flipping over the top of it. Like, there was so much stuff where I was like, oh my God, this match is crazy.
The finish, which was a top rope German suplex.
Love it.
When do you see that?
Oh, like, and when we say top rope, we mean top rope German. Not like Darby was sitting on the top and then he threw him off. No, they both stood and then Takeshita went, off you go. Wild.
Yeah.
I love it.
Takeshita really only hit two types of moves, which was German suplexes or knees.
Yeah. It's great.
This is one of the best Takeshita matches I've seen. And I know there's...
That's a big statement.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I know there's better matches.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the Omega one.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And his Hangman one as well.
And his Hangman one, yeah. But for just, like, a week-to-week match...
this is the best version of Takeshita.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
You've got big match Takeshita where he has to dilute himself somewhat to face someone else's style. This felt like a Takeshita match.
Yeah, this was great. And it wasn't a squash. Darby got a lot of offense in, but it did very much feel like the Takeshita show here. And this was like him just kind of dominating. His Germans looked insane because it's Darby Allin. He could just throw him. So he did. And he like just flipped him like all the way over, like multiple rotations on these German suplexes. It was awesome. He looked great coming out of this.
Afterwards, the Callis family are backstage. Renee's interviewing them. And Don challenges Sting and Darby Allin to a tag match next week, which is in Daly's Place, where it all began, against Powerhouse Hobbs and Takeshita. So, I mean, I was kind of hoping that Takeshita, I want the Callis family to win, is what I'm trying to say here.
I don't think they will. In a tag match involving Sting.
Sting in the final match in that location, presumably. Yeah.
I mean, that's where he debuted, right? Is it Daly's Place?
Winter is coming, of course.
Yeah.
After that, we got the Triple Crown number one contenders match. It was a four-way between Trent, Brian Cage, Brian Keith, and Vikingo to take on Eddie on Saturday's episode of Collision. Eddie came down. He got a huge reaction for coming down and just sitting on commentary. Brian Keith didn't even get an entrance.
That was weird.
This was a fine match, but... And I guess it's the realization of what the Triple Crown Championship is setting in.
Continental Crown? Triple... what is it?
I don't know. I thought I was right. I thought it's a Triple Crown.
Is it the Triple Crown? Is it the... Because it's the Continental Classic. Mm-hmm. What's the... I need to look this up now. I feel like it's the Continental Crown. Because the Triple Crown...
Is it really?
Because I think this Continental Crown, because I think the Triple Crown is what's actually in like all Japan right now.
Oh.
So I think it's the Continental... Chat will tell me.
Well, while Beat's looking at that, the C2 to decide this champion had a lot of star power in Danielson, Moxley, Swerve, Jay White. But this, and all, like, I actually love all the people in this match. They have been presented as not even mid-carders, they're undercarders. So it's like, it is the Ring of Honor championship again.
Which, as soon as that was announced as the stipulation for the C2, I did think that, like, that has made me less interested in the C2. And despite that, the C2 was incredible, and I loved it. And they stacked it with people, and I was like, I take it back, this tournament's going to be fantastic. But then you get to the end of it, and you get afterwards, and you go, but this is just kind of the Ring of Honor title, but again... but slightly different. Also, it is the Continental Crown.
Ah.
I am, in fact, correct. I really hope I'm all for doing a match like this to crown a number one contender to face Eddie. I think that's a great idea. It just needed different people in it. I don't even mind Brian Cage being in it, because I think he's been featured a little bit more than some of the others, and you can make the argument that maybe he could be one of the guys. But I think you need other people that are on his or above his level to round it out, because this did feel like a bit of an undercard match, despite it being very fun.
Yeah. And I get it's only for a match on Saturday.
Yeah.
But it's also the first title defense, so you need to... I would have done a lot more, made this elevated. Danhausen was in the front row of the crowd. He didn't distract Trent, despite Trent eliminating him in the buy-in battle royal on Saturday. Instead, he cursed Brian Cage. Everyone takes out Cage, and Trent beat Brian Keith to win.
It was very good. Very fun match.
Backstage, Renee is interviewing Daddy Magic. Doesn't even get a word in because Hangman Page storms in. I believe this is the first time we've seen him since he was taken out by the beer bottle, by the devil and his goons. And he is super pissed off. He's grown out his beard. He looks wild-eyed.
He looks so cool.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, beard growth, but more tash growth. And it's, like, slightly more than the beard and looks awesome.
He looks unhinged.
Yeah.
And he was just screaming that there's no MJF here. I don't know where the devil is. So who can I beat up? Find me someone to beat up.
Give me a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
And who should be in the main event? But Swerve Strickland, Hangman's forever foe. He took on Daniel Garcia. I really like this as the main event because it's these two people that rose in the C2
for very different reasons as well.
Having the first main event of the year, like me and Pete were watching Wrestle Kingdom before we came down here, particularly the Ospreay match, and we were both like, AEW is setting itself up for this like amazing new main event scene this year. I know Hangman's been there before, but he still feels weirdly fresh. But Hangman, Ospreay coming in, Swerve. I was going to say MJF again. I know those are sort of veterans, but they're all young guys.
Yeah.
And that's such an exciting scene.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for AEW this year because I think, you know, 2022 got rough for them and 2023 was somehow worse. But I think they now have enough foundation to have a great 2024. Mm. And I think even with all their problems, they've maintained a great in-ring product. And now having even more great talent and nurturing more talent now is going to make 2024 mega exciting for AEW. I'm super excited about it.
This was a great match. I really enjoyed it. Garcia, while Swerve's obviously the better wrestler, I'm not saying... I'm saying it kayfabe.
In kayfabe, yes. Kayfabe. He's the biggest star right now, yes.
And he's had more impressive wins, better C2 performance.
Yeah.
Garcia had, from a story perspective, Garcia had the edge where if Garcia gets him on the mat, he's a better mat wrestler than Strickland. So it's a battle of tactics, which I really enjoyed. But funnily enough, the biggest spot was Garcia not doing that and having a Rock Hogan WrestleMania X8 dance-off spot with Nana.
Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Doing the stare to either side.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
As I will say every single time that Swerve Strickland wrestles, he's the man. I love this match. I've always really enjoyed Daniel Garcia's work, and I thought that him rejoining Jericho, the whole are you a sports entertainer thing was massively mishandled, and I've just been waiting to see more Danny Garcia since then, and stuff like this makes me very, very happy because he looked great and he got really protected in this match as well because he kicked out of the house call plus stomp from Swerve as well. Kicked out, and Swerve was like, oh my god, this little kid just kicked out this thing. And in that shock, Garcia nearly got the victory, got a crucifix pin, and got a crazy close near fall on Swerve. Then Swerve came back and got the win with the JML driver. But that little moment just there just goes like, we really like Daniel Garcia, and you should care about him for this reason. He's really strong, and he nearly got the win on this huge megastar right now. Amazing.
And it was a really well-done sequence because that came off the back of, unfortunately, a botch. Garcia put a sharpshooter on Swerve on the commentary desk. They just fell off it. And the crowd did chant, you effed up. But then they were quite... They stopped that quite quickly and got back into the match immediately.
Yeah. And I think it would have been fine maybe if the crowd didn't do that. I also thought the commentary could have done a better job of covering it up because it looked like Swerve just like crawled off the table, which they could have just said like, oh, we counted the sharpshooter there and he managed to get off the table and he forced Garcia to fall off, but they just didn't because that's what it looked like to me. It genuinely looked like Swerve like intentionally got off the table to make Garcia fall off. And then they're like, oh, that, you know, well, oh, you know, slippery surface. I'm like, what? Come on, guys. you can do something better. But it was what it was. It didn't take away from the match at all.
In victory, Swerve went to shake Garcia's hand. I thought, oh, they actually making him more of a babyface character.
He's a tweener.
Because the crowd was super cheering him like he was a babyface, even though Nana would interfere in the match. But no, it was all a ruse. Nana punched Garcia in the dick. Daddy Magic, who was on commentary, who I thought did a really good job actually cheerleading Garcia, stormed in. They beat him up as well. So... that's a reason, right? Hangman Page comes down. He has this huge pull-apart brawl with Swerve. I'm just so excited. And then you got the WCW bell going like, ding, 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 ding. Break it up, break it up. Loads of security. We go off air.
That was great.
Oh, I loved it.
I love Hangman and Swerve. I think I will forever. And I'm real excited to see where this goes. Because I don't know. And honestly, if they have another match and Hangman wins, I'll be like, cool, amazing. If they do another match and Swerve wins, I'll be like, cool, amazing. They do a triple threat with Joe, I'll be like, cool, amazing. Like, I'm so excited to see what happens next.
I think you could, there are a lot of ways, but I hope it involves some combination of Joe, Hangman, and Swerve. So maybe it is what I said earlier, the number one contenders match that Swerve wins. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's number one contenders match, Hangman and Swerve draw. So they make it a three-way.
Oh, that's fun. Mm. Do a Swerve win, draw, Hangman win. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Maybe it's, well, they just make it a three-way anyway, or we get there via that route. And Joe pins Hangman, and you elongate it out so Swerve can have a singles match at the next show. And then Joe gets a longer title reign, and we get the Swerve, the belt on Swerve. But yeah, I'm excited for next week.
Yeah. And that's really
the
most positive thing we can say about this. This was exciting stuff.
I gave it an 85% overall.
Yeah.
What would you give it? That's sort of a 4.25 star.
Yeah. I'd give it a solid 4, 4.5 out of 5. So yeah, about the same.
So please put the poll live if we do have that, if we do have Mod Mother in the chat. Do we have any Patreon shoutouts
for
today?
We do.
Ooh.
We've been told that we do.
Yeah.
So let's do it. If you haven't joined our Patreon page yet, you should. At patreon.com/WrestleTalk. We have so much exclusive content over there. And we've got amazing stuff. We've got Survival Series Thunderdome now, which is great. So we've got to have people on Survival Series who we wouldn't normally get to in person. So we've got people like Queen of the Ring, and we've got Stephen Larson and people like that. It's awesome. We got
new episode of that going out next Friday.
Exciting stuff.
Ooh, what theme could it be in the month of January?
Who knows? What could it possibly be? What? Nothing happens in January. And we also have, if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to Hannah A, baby.
Big Jiggy, Josh Marden.
Double L, Liam Leonard.
The Mat Man, Matthew Allen.
Abominable, Michael Abbott.
Ryan Disco, Stewart.
Thomas, the prize hooker, Solazano.
Where there's a Will Campbell.
The machine gun, Alex Anderson.
The roller coaster, Robert Acoster.
The Black Plague, Butch Rosser.
And the cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Woo! Thank you so much, all of our wonderful pledge champions. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Yeah, thank you so much. Right, the rest of your chats, last call for those. WrestleTalk.com/support. Where are we? Bum, bum, bum. Big MGM says, Cole, despite having Joe win the belt, wants Wardlow to win it in order to give it to him. Instead, helping Wardlow win the belt and not putting the title on a rare person who's beaten Wardlow. And to top it all off, Wardlow's not on board. Great plan.
I actually think it kind of makes sense. That bit, when you spell it out like that, doesn't make sense. If the ultimate plan of Cole was always win the AEW world title, this plan is very silly. But as he said in his promo, it started with the world title, but then it just became, we need to destroy MJF. It doesn't matter about the title anymore until now later on. Now we've got rid of MJF, we've gotten rid of him on the belt, got rid of that. Now let's refocus and let's get the belt now.
I agree.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, because it's Cole's pride that's been hurt here. That's why he's prioritized destroying Max over World Championship. Pick a pig. I originally thought that Cole saying Wardlow would hand over the title would lead to months down the line when Cole is cleared to compete. Cole gets kicked out and attacked by the Undisputed Kingdom, only for Cole to be saved by MJF. Love you guys. Keep it up. Love you too, Pick a Pig.
I don't think so, because they need to explain it quite well.
There was a bit in the Ciampa Gargano feud where they just suddenly kept on becoming friends and it lost me.
Yeah.
And that feels a bit like that there. Hannah Allen. Hello, lovelies. Dynamite humped Samoa. This style of these post-match interviews has really won me over. That and Joe's just rad. Really excited for this run. Undisputed faction. Fudge, yeah. Cole is such a great heel. And I gobbled up all that logic.
I did too.
There's so much to look forward to as well. All the women's stuff won me over tonight. The Perrazzo debut had me excited. And even though I missed something with the Outcast stuff, I still enjoyed it. 2024, maybe? Shrug. Swerve is GOAT. Lots of love.
He is indeed.
Love to you too, Anna. Matt says,
The show was awesome. It felt like one of the old AEW episodes from the golden era of Dynamite from 2019 to early 2022. It wasn't in 2019, the golden era. It was like January 2020 is when it really stepped up, I think. To early 2022 before Ring of Honor was bought. It had a great balance of in-ring wrestling and storylines, plus no ROH matches on the show or the Chris Jericho mid-card Vortex of Evil. Mm. I like that you have Undisputed Kingdom feuding with heels and faces. They wrong like Bullet Club Gold, Acclaimed, and Adam Page. But with MJF and Cole injured, I'm concerned how long the story can be kept interesting, to be honest.
I think it can be interesting because you've got so many other people involved now. Because you have the Kingdom and Roddy and Wardlow, they can cover for Adam Cole being injured. So I think it still makes sense.
It's a tough task, though. I don't envy them. It's tough to be excited about Deonna in AEW. She is great and adds to a stacked women's division if Tony gives the division more TV time. But we've been here before. A big signing goes to AEW like Athena, Ruby Soho, or Taya Valkyrie. Feuds with the champs, loses, and they get forgotten about or demoted to Ring of Honor.
Valid.
Yeah. Charlie Mills, I love that this Dynamite was like AEW's New Year's Dash following the World's End PLE, setting up the year to come. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see FTR versus, or FTR of Black.
FTR of Black.
McTome, I was at the Dynamite show. I wanted to give a special shout out to the young kid holding our I Heart Hot Mum sign.
Nice.
So funny. He wanted Britt Baker, but was happy to see Nick Wayne's mum.
Nice.
Britt Baker's not a mum, is she?
Don't think so.
Jimmy G, Memberg for 27 months. Happy New Year's, lads. I'm interested in seeing where the new year takes AEW, being on Hangman versus Joe versus Swerve, 4 out of 5 show. I think he means betting on Hangman versus Joe versus Swerve.
Or Bring On.
Yeah, or Bring On, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Will Campbell, hi guys, I thought the main event was amazing. Garcia has shot off like a rocket since the C2 and his dance off with Nana was great. I love his pairing with Matt Maynard. It's nice to see him finally take off after leaving Jericho. Took long enough.
Indeed.
I'll hot tag to you.
Charles Berg said, it's quite disheartening. The moment people hear a story, they take it as fact. Jericho sucks, but lies don't make things good. I'm also upset because I have to table my Chris... I'm not going to say that one. Undisputed Kingdom, dumb name aside, is promising. What do you mean it's a dumb name? It's a great name.
We've established there's too many syllables here.
It's fine. Undisputed Kingdom. Tony Shade has been a member for 6 months in a row. Drove 5 hours to the show. Amazing show. Felt like the promise of AEW being about young talent is promising an exciting future for wrestling. The feeling is back. Now that MJF is gone.
Yeah, that... no offense to MJF.
Yeah,
we love MJF.
Because I love MJF and he's great. Justin said, so which one is it today? Is it yay, Tony signed Deonna? I can't wait to see what the great matches she'll have. Or is it WTF, I can't believe Tony only booked one women's match and only gave them 6 minutes 30 with 3 minutes being picture in picture.
Hey, well, it should have been less going by me.
Why not both is what I'd say. Tony won't care about actually booking the women better as long as he knows that he can just sign a new woman every 4 to 6 weeks and get people online to kiss his ass for signing them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I hope that with enough people on his roster, he will actually do something with them. And I think we have been getting a bit more of that. It's not fixed yet, but we've seen people like Tony Storm getting over and getting more time, seen Julia Hart's rise, Chris Statlander being very good. Like, I think there's a lot of moving pieces and like Sky Blue and Julie Hart's partnership and stuff like that. There's a bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not necessarily foundation, but there's more
focus.
Yeah, there's a bit more focus on different aspects of the division currently rather than just like AEW Women's Champion and nobody else.
Yeah.
F Scorpion said, unrelated, but I absolutely need an Ospreay versus Danielson match.
I want an Ospreay Mox singles match.
Well, yeah, that too. That would be neato.
Come on, Revolution.
Yeah. Nick J. Smith. Yep. Hangman wouldn't be the first two-timer. Mox and Punk both did that. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the Summer of Ridiculousness.
Yeah. Three-way at Revolution, but Swerve and Hangman cost each other the belt. Also, Wardlow is using the Undisputed Kingdom to get him the world title before he turns face against them.
I love that finish.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. Like, maybe... How would you do it? Swerve and Hangman are both just like, no, you can't. I'm not going to let you win. And that's what lets Samoa Joe pin one of them.
Yeah. Like Samoa Joe is like on the outside or something. and they're just so distracted with brawling by themselves that they don't realize that Joe's got a chair or something, and he comes in and batters them or whatever. I think that's really fun. Deej the Second said, I think Wardlow has subtly been on Max's side the whole time. All of his vignettes, he talked about MGF's world is going to end since he still needed retribution for their past. But all those promos ended with him promising to take down the devil.
Yeah, so I don't think that means he's on MGF's side. Mm-hmm. I think it means in that moment he's taking down Max, but it works as a longer poetic thing where he's going to also take out Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Wardlow who delivered that powerbomb to Max at the end of World's End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kid Cudi said, the Undisputed Kingdom looked like dorks scurrying away again. Not to mention their plan makes no sense unless you play mental gymnastics. No,
self, just focus on the wrestling.
Oh, right, okay. Just focus on the wrestling. The wrestling was good, but why bring Mark Quinn out after an international championship match, which was a match between a single star and a guy in a trios team, just to talk about the tag titles, which are on collision? No, self, just focus on the wrestling. But Eddie's belt just became less important. No, self, just focus on the... Very good. I don't think they look like dorks scurrying away again. I get the Mark Quinn thing. Like I said, I probably would have had Roddy Strong in that position, but fine. And also, yeah, the Eddie Belt thing. It's a shame. Would have preferred that to be a little bit more important. Blake Whitehouse said...
Oh, sorry, you've got a bit more. Maybe you got
do
cut
I?
Off. Just to continue Kid Cudi's chat. But why debut Perrazzo going for the belt already when she didn't earn it and we know she won't win? Don't think Tony Khan will book her right either. No, me, just focus on the wrestling. But Mama Wayne didn't try to protect Nick from Adam at first.
Didn't she? I mean...
She tried to stop Copeland, but Copeland just didn't listen and celebrate.
I thought that was the reason why she wanted to join Christian Cage. That's part of the reason anyway. Blake Whitehouse said, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say Ollie's 2024 prediction about Cedric Alexander going to AEW probably won't come true on account that he's been married to Big Swole since 2018. TNA X Division champion in 2024 probably, but All Elite? Nah.
Yeah, I can see that. I kind of forgot about the Big Swole relationship when I made that. And of course, Big Swole left AEW. And it doesn't... I mean, at least a couple of years ago, the relationship didn't seem super positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that necessarily rules people out going to places. You know, maybe they can be convinced that things have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joseph Gleason said, hi guys, no notes about Dynamite, but when you say, if you're watching on demand, you should say on demand in the style of Big Boss Man saying, who the man?
Ah, nice.
If you're watching on demand! Very good. Again, no notes on Dynamite. Happy New Year. Looking forward to an exciting 2024. Thank you so much. Charlie Mills is a new member. And we have some miscellaneous / last minute Omega chats here. Farquhar Force, sorry about that, says, is the Continental Crown being defended as a single championship? And if so, what's the point in promoting the Modern America Triple Crown for the past 2 months? I know it was always, it's three belts as one, right? That's the point of the Triple Crown, is it's three promotions, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Ring of Honor, New Japan Strong, and now AEW.
Yeah, so you will always be defending all three, technically.
Yes. So it is essentially one belt, but it's four, three promotions at once. I think Deonna is a safe signing for her in AEW. She's on a par with the best of the roster, and she's friends with Britt, so unlikely to rock the boat. Mercedes is riskier, though, because she's better than everyone else and has already walked out of one company due to bad booking.
Hmm.
I think she's definitely a bigger star than everybody else. I don't know if that's necessarily true that she's a better wrestler. She's a great wrestler. Mm. I don't know if she is necessarily better than a lot of the best in AEW. I think they've got some fantastic women's wrestlers on that roster. So, I don't know what this next bit says, but I'm getting sleazy asterisks vibes from the Outcast story.
I can't see that yet. But to be honest, I don't know what it is.
I have no idea what the Outcast story is, so I can't tell you. I don't know. Mm. Bizarro Big Al said, solid show to start off the year. Think only a month till Ospreay comes in. I disagree, Ollie. Cage, Keith, and Vikingo have been putting in the work the past couple months, and I haven't seen a bad match. You can't complain about building people if they don't get time.
Well, I'm not... I think there's they have been doing great work. They always lose. That's what I'm saying. So, sure, give them time to build them up, but occasionally they do have to win. You can't present a number one contenders match with a bunch of people who have lost all the time. You kind of need number one contenders reasonings to get into the number one contenders match, and that, oh, you've won all these matches, so you should get a shot to get a shot at the title.
Mm-hmm.
And that none of these guys have done anything kayfabe victory-wise, although, you know, in-ring wrestling-wise, I think they're all brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The Buck Bumble said, a great bit of television last night. Love the return of Private Party. Excuse me. And I'm so unbelievably ready for Strong versus Cassidy. In a bit of non-AEW news, the recent media stuff from MXM and the Nemeth Brothers makes me think that alternative wrestling is on the up. Mason Mansoor have been incredible since their release.
I know. Who would have thought that?
I would. I always believed in them. They've been incredible. I love those guys so much. Nemeth Brothers as well. If you've not seen Wrestle Kingdom, spoilers, or today's Wrestle Talk News episode, Dolph Ziggler showed up at Wrestle Kingdom and got into a thing with David Finlay, so it looks like he might be going for the new global championship. So that is very exciting. And I think that, there's a lot of really exciting wrestling taking place, not in any big promotion right now. Granted, New Japan is a big promotion, but to Western audiences, I think there's so much exciting wrestling happening across the world right now.
Does feel like a bit of new year. Yeah. Everything feels a bit shaken up, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
But yes, please, good. Why not go over and watch the WrestleTalk news right now to find out about that news and some other weird WWE TNA speculation. It's a fun story, that one. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Pete Quinnell. Jam that jam.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.